Again, we're going to look together into the Word of God in order to discover what God would teach us. And you know our constant prayer is that we might be faithful to the Word of God. It was really the most foolish thing in the world if we ever fudge with the Word of God. If we see something there that we don't really like, and so we try to find this somehow to proof that maybe it isn't saying exactly what it first appears to say. Maybe we've misunderstood because we don't like what we're reading, and we have to be very careful when we do that, because then we are simply blinding ourselves. We always want to go to the Bible. Lord, I don't know anything. You teach me. And I know in my own personal experience, many times I've looked at a verse and it seems like it was contrary to something else I had already been teaching. And I was thinking, oh my, maybe I have to recant. Maybe I have to go back and say I was mistaken. And yet I recognized, my, I better study this verse carefully, because if it is teaching me that I need correction, I better be corrected, because I don't want to keep teaching in a wrong path. And so we never go to the Bible with the idea of fudging or trying to make it agree with what we already have come to. We have to go to the Bible constantly with an open mind. And this is what we're doing as we've been going through the book of Jeremiah. And wonderfully, in the last few studies, it's been nothing but joy, 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 as we have seen that I write in Jeremiah, that book that for months and months and months we've been in, and it has been all, virtually all, doom and gloom, the wrath of God upon the local congregations, because their time has come to an end. And yet when we came to Jeremiah 31, and there's a few other places ahead of that, we found that there was a lot of joy, that God has a wonderful salvation plan. And we came there, as we were looking in Jeremiah 31, we saw in verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, because of the wheat and the wine, and because of the oil, and because of the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. It is all the wonderful, wonderful blessings that are happening right today, as the gospel is going out. And as I've indicated from time to time, as in this time of the ingathering of the believers from all over the world, there's no language about, but watch out, because there's going to be destruction if you don't remain faithful. Whenever the Bible has been telling about the sending forth of the gospel constantly, there's been this warning, watch out, because if you don't remain faithful, I'm going to send judgment upon you. And this happened in the nation of Israel again and again and again. It has happened through the church age, and finally the ultimate destruction did come when, right at the end of the church age, when God was finished, he now has brought judgment upon the churches. But when we're reading about this period, this final ingathering, it's never with the warning, now be careful that you remain faithful, because there's going to be judgment against you if you don't remain faithful. The reason is that now he is in this final ingathering. It's just God and the individual. And either you become a true child of God, or you're not at all identified with the kingdom of God. And when you are a true child of God, you already are eternally in the kingdom. And there is no possibility that judgment will ever come. And as a matter of fact, you will find that you will persist in a tremendous desire to do the will of God, and this will go right up until the day of your death or the last day, at the very end, because God has given you a brand new resurrected soul. So it is the language of joy and wonder and happiness, like it says here. They will, in verse 12, they will not sorrow anymore at all. That's a big statement. And because once we have received our new resurrected soul, we have eternal life. And we cannot lose eternal life. We might sorrow because of our loved ones who are not saved, but insofar as you personally are concerned about your own sins, you will not sorrow anymore at all. And we as we were looking at these verses, and we could go on with 13, and verse 14 of Jeremiah 31 said, "And I will satiate," that is, "I will completely satisfy the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Jehovah." And then remember, we went to Isaiah 30, and we could have gone to other passages too, but we just, as a corollary passage, we spent some time in Isaiah 30 and found very, very similar, very similar language. We find there where God says in verse 19 of Isaiah 30, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem," and that's a synonym for the kingdom of God that we have come into eternally. "Thou shalt weep no more. He shall be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." We did read that you will still be in a world where you will be persecuted, you'll be slandered, and though the Lord, says this in verse 20, "Give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall thy teacher not be removed into a corner anymore." In other words, the teacher is God. The teacher is the Word of God, and it will never, never disappear or be hidden, or as what has happened during the church age, where a church started out with the Bible, someone brought the Bible there, and the next thing, nobody reads the Bible, and they're just trusting a preacher that what he is teaching, and he may teach a little bit from the Bible and a lot from his own ideas or his own philosophies, and the parishioners, those sitting in the pews, can't know because they don't read the Bible themselves. The Bible has been hidden from them, but that can't happen. Now it's God and the individual, and this is why we're instructed to get encourage people to read the Bible. But then we got down to verse 25 of Isaiah 30, "And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water." And you know, there again, it is the river and the stream of the water of the gospel that is flowing all over the world now, as we are blanketing the world with the truth of the gospel in the day of the great slaughter. And as we learned last time, this is very unique language that could never be understood until we have come to an understanding of the end time detail that we're now understanding, that during this time that God calls Great Tribulation in Matthew 24, it's actually twofold. First of all, the day of judgment, and judgment has to do with slaughter. But on the other hand, it is also the day when the rivers are flowing with water of the true gospel, and many people are being saved. And then we came to verse 26, and we want to look at that for a moment before we go back to Jeremiah 31. We're not going to continue to go through the book of Isaiah, or we'll be here for another couple of years before we ever finish Jeremiah. But here in verse 26, we have a very curious verse that's only found here. We don't find anything quite like this anywhere in the Bible. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that Jehovah bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. And what in the world is God talking about? Actually, it's curious, you know, God, the word for sun, the normal Hebrew word for sun is found hundreds of times in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And this is a word for sun that is only found about 5 or 6 times. It's a very unique word, and wherever it is found, it seems to emphasize the great heat or the great brightness of the sun. It's a much bigger word than is normally used. It is used, for example, and the same way with the word moon. The word moon normally is a different Hebrew word than what is used here, but the way it's used here is to indicate a specially bright moon, like a full moon. Now, if we go to Isaiah 24, verse 23, we find both of these same Hebrew words for moon and sun there. And there we read in Isaiah 24, verse 23, and again, the context is right in our day. Then, let me back up. And it's talking about God's judgment coming in verse 22, they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and be shall shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients or his elders gloriously. Here God in Isaiah 24 is talking about the very end of time, because he's saying, if we went back, we would read in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and so on. And verse 21, and it shall come to pass in that day that Jehovah will punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth. There's no brightness anymore. The sun ashamed. It is the end of the history of the world altogether. But back in Isaiah 30, it's talking about a time just ahead of this, when the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And God tells us when this will happen. When this will happen, we see that finally this tremendous light is going to be gone. But just ahead of that, there's something else that's happening here that we're reading about in Isaiah 30. In the day, I'm reading from verse 26, that Jehovah bindeth up the breach of his people. Now, the word bindeth up the breach is a word that signifies destruction. Again and again it is translated, destruction. When we go, for example, to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 6, where God says, set up the standard towards Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. That's the same word as breach that we're reading. I will bring destruction. In verse 20 of Jeremiah 4, God says, destruction upon destruction, same Hebrew word, is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. In other words, it's talking about the end of the church age and the time of great tribulation when God is bringing final or his judgment day upon the earth. And that is what's in view when it's saying in the day, going back to Isaiah 30, verse 26, in the day that Jehovah bindeth up the destruction of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. You see, in the day when God has brought his wrath upon the local congregations, that's where his people are found, judgment has come into those churches, and it is in that day, that the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. Now, how does that work? How does that work? That seems like a contradiction, because here we have the judgment of God being visited upon the churches, and on the other hand, God is saying the light of the moon and the light of the sun are extremely bright, beyond like it's seven times brighter than ever before. And when we think about it, you know, the moon, the term moon is frequently spoken of as the law of God, as a synonym for the law of God. Remember the woman that gave birth to the man-child in Revelation chapter 12? The moon was under her feet. It does not mean the law does not exist. This is the law of God. It is here. But it is the fact that the law of God at this time is shining brighter than ever before in history. Isn't it interesting that it says here that the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold? And incidentally, we have the moon, which is the law of God, shedding its light, all of the information that God wants mankind to know. And we have the sun, which is a representation of whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes as the light of the world, and he also comes with the heat, that is, with a burning heat to bring judgment. The sun is used in both ways. It's used both ways in the Bible, both to bring the light of the truth of the Word of God and the light of salvation, but it's also to bring the heat that goes with it, that is the destruction or the judgment of God. And it says that the light of the sun is lighter than 7 days, or as light as 7 days. And the 7 days, of course, that we right away think about is the 7,000 years. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Ever since the flood of Noah's day, we've had the Word of God, at least some of it, and for the last 2,000 years, we've had the whole Word of God, and yet the understanding of the Word of God has been very, very minimal. It was so bad in the days of Jesus that the theologians of that day absolutely did not recognize Christ as the Messiah. And here is God himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ walking amongst them, teaching them very personally, face to face, and they did not, and they wanted to kill him because they thought he was of Satan. They were so blinded. The light of the sun was so tiny at that time, and the light of the moon was so small because it was they just did not understand. And then when we look at the close of the church age and read all the theological material, all the commentaries that we want to read and try to tie it in with this understanding of the Bible, we find that they missed here and there and the other place again and again and again. They were a long ways from truth. Now, that wasn't their fault necessarily. It's not a reflection on the fact that all of them were criminals, spiritually speaking, but it was because God's plan did not call for the Bible to shine in all of its inherent brightness, intrinsic brightness. That was not God's plan. His plan was that much of the Bible would not be revealed until this time in which we're living, this time of the day of judgment, this time when he is bringing in his final harvest. But it is today that the Bible is shining brilliantly as the moon shines, way brighter than ever. The law of God, we are understanding more in detail and more truly than ever before in history. And the light of the sun, and as it brings salvation, is shining more brightly than ever, so that there's a great multitude that are hearing the word of God, and God is bringing into the kingdom of God. In other words, right at this time, it's just like everything is just suddenly flashing. It's just like a great explosion. It's just like everything now is coming to a dramatic end. Now, that also has to do with judgment. You know, the light of the sun is the heat of the sun. It's also a time when God is preparing people for the judgment. And that also is much more severe than ever before, as God is preparing the church and the world for their time at judgment. In other words, we're living in a time where before everything has been kind of like a hazy day. You know, you see the sun, and yet it really isn't that bright. You see the moon at night, but yet it doesn't shine that bright. It's a hazy night, and that's about the way it has been. And then you come to a day, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and all the atmospheric conditions are right. So that night you had a full moon, and you said, wow, it's almost like daytime. The moon appears so bright tonight. And this would be particularly true if you go way out in the country, a long ways away from any city, so there's no city lights at all. The moon just seems so bright. Or it's like a sunny day. Sometime, you know, you have a sunny day and everything is right. The atmospheric conditions are right. Wow, is it bright today? The sun really shines bright. Well, that's the figure that God is giving here. We're living in a day when the moon, that is the law of God, now the moon is shining bright, and the sun is shining brighter than it ever has, as God is preparing for the end. And that also means that God's judgment is more severe, because it is over against the truth of what God is giving also through his word. And we know that we're on the right track, because it says, as the light of, or in the day that Jehovah bindeth up the destruction of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. And that is what's happening right in our day, when his judgment has come on the churches for 2,300 days. Remember, as we work through the timeline, it was a time of dismal judgment on the world. And then suddenly, 1994, on that day of Jubilee, the first day of the seventh month of the biblical calendar, the Holy Spirit again is poured out, and wonderfully, now the gospel is going again into the world. I trust that as you have been listening to this study today, that you have learned something from the Word of God. We may not learn a whole lot. We find that God repeats things again and again, and that's a way of learning. This is a common way in which we learn anything, is that principle is repeated again and again. And this is what God does for us as we go through the Bible.